Bibles. It may be a little bit hard to read up there today, but I will try to walk us through this today. The Word of God says in verse 7, 1 Peter 4 and 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak." Say, let him speak. "Let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it." Say, let him do it. "As of the ability which God giveth." Amen? "That God in all things may be glorified." There it is, mama. "Through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever." Amen. I want to speak to you today from the title, Using Your Gifts. Using your God-given gifts. Amen? Using your God-given gifts. That's interesting that you're in the front row this morning. Miss B, I call her Grand B. She is in the fashion industry. I'll just use her as an example this morning. I'll just take a little spin. And some people would say, well, you know, the fashion industry, Gucci and all those people, they ain't saved. And all the people that work in that industry are full of the devil. And that actually may be true. I can tell by some of the suits they try to get me to wear here of late. Some of the, I don't know about you men, but some of the pants, No. But Miss B has been in that industry, and she is using her God-given gifts to do something as far as, you know, in that industry that may not be done all the time, which is to spread the gospel, be a light. I understand this. I came from the music business. I did a lot of music, and, you know, there was a lot of darkness there. And I understand from being there that God will use you to be a light. Some people work around some demons. Am I the only one? Some people are raising their hands, some other folks. And God has sent you into those places to be a light. Right? Now, let me just set this up by saying, I'm just going to trust the Lord for the order here, because I'm not exactly sure how the Holy Spirit is going to lead me to do this just yet. But 1 Peter 2 and 12. Can you get me that scripture right quick? 1 Peter 2 and 12 says this. Having your conversation, King James says, which is basically your lifestyle, the way you live in front of people. Having your conversation, which we went over this before, among the Gentiles, the outsiders, the folks that are not in the church, the folks that have not been saved, that whereas they speak evil or speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, because they will see how you're living in front of them, what? Glorify God in a day of visitation. Now, the focus there is on the outsiders. People seeing you and wherever you are, and you are being a representative of God and the kingdom of God wherever you are. Hopefully winning souls, right? The world will see you and they should see Jesus in you, which is the whole point. Now, if you look from that spot on, 2:12, all the way up to around the end of 3, you will start to notice that it's basically about, you know, being subject to your masters for the sake of Christ, you know, being subject to the king. Don't start a ruckus. Be a peaceful Christian, because nobody's going to believe you saved if you're acting up and breaking the law. And then you get with your husband and your wife, and your wife may not be saved. Husband, act like you care about her. You know, love on her. Don't let, you know, the way you treat her affect the way that, you know, she may receive Christ from you. Amen? Because she's looking at you, and if she doesn't see love in you, then why should you join the church that you profess to believe in? And, you know, be like Jesus. I want you to be like Jesus. Well, if this is what Jesus looks like, then no thank you, sir. Right? So there's this idea that you should show the outsiders, even if they're outside your home or in your home. Your children should see, you know, Christ in you. They should see you loving. They should see you, you know, lifting burdens and bearing burdens. They should see you caring about people. They should see you living holy. You know, you should not be a hypocrite. All that stuff is aimed at the outsiders. Here, in 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, what we're seeing is something different. This is about how we treat each other. Amen? You see these words, among yourselves, one to another, one to another, huh? Use hospitality, have fervent charity, forgiveness, covering the multitude of sins, one to another. And then verse 10 talks about, you know, using your gift one to another. If I want to adopt the child, I want to rescue the child from whatever they're dealing with. I am saying that you should come with me because when you get to my house, things will be better, safer. Right? The assumption is that where the child is, it's not good for them. The assumption is where I'm taking you is going to be safer for you. The question is, what will that child see when they get to your home? Is it really safe? Is your marriage tight? The way you treat the children you already have, how they? Huh? Do they respect you? What's happening here is when we look at the home, or when we look at the church, when we look at where we're bringing these people to, there should be light. There should be Christ. There should be sobriety. There should be the kingdom of God visibly seen in you, because I'm saying this place is safe. Right? So Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says this: ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, right? And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Insiders now. Okay? So let your light so shine before men that are outside the house that they may see your good works. So when they get in the inside of the house, they'll be like, ah, this is what we should be seeing. There's no hypocrisy here. Amen? Let your light shine. Your good works. What are your good works? I can't do anything good unless the Holy Spirit is doing it through me. So what does he do? He gives me, and every believer, gifts. Are you understanding this? Amen? So, back to our main portion of scripture. That's your setup. 1 Peter 4:10. You ready? Here we go. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same. Here it is. One to another, as good stewards. We are to manage properly the gift that God has given us. Wait, I thought we followed the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do. And then we take some responsibility to make sure that we are using the gift properly. Amen? Amen. Managers who are accountable to God to use the gift that you have been given wisely. Amen? All right. As good stewards, amen, of the manifold grace of God. God's grace, I'm not talking about the grace of God that saved you. I'm talking about the the gift of God, the charisma, the gift that he has given you. Amen? When he gave you a gift, it was varied. Nobody is the same. Are you hearing me? The gift was given to you. The gift is not earned by you. It's a gift. You didn't do anything to get it. You get saved, you get a gift. Some of us get several gifts. Amen? But here's the thing. As good stewards, in other words, we have to do something with it. Oh, boy. God is amazingly creative. He has something for all of us to do. God gives everyone gifts to use to help the body of Christ. But if you don't use your gift, you are not following God's command. Amen? You're hurting the body of Christ by refusing to do what you were born again to do. Amen? Now that you're saved, the body of Christ needs you in your proper place. Amen? Help me, Holy Spirit. Needs you functioning properly. Needs you willing to function. Oh, boy. If my pancreas just sits in my body, it's not helping me. Right? My body will not work properly if my pancreas could just decide, I'm not going to work. If my kidneys made a decision to shut down. Are you hearing me? It's bad to have a kidney that's not working. But what if your kidneys could decide, I'm going to sit up in this body and chill out and let you eat hamburger after hamburger, fried chicken after fried chicken, and do nothing. Are you getting the picture? Now, I'm just going to just briefly go through this. There are no special elite people in the body of Christ. We are all the same. We have different gifts, but we are all the same. We are all saved and called to use our gifts. So the thinking that because I'm not one of the leaders, I don't need to find out what my gift is, I don't need to mature and grow up and use it, that's not just incorrect thinking. That, let me put it to you another way. That's actually harmful to the body. Are you hearing me? Every need that comes from the body of Christ is not meant to be handled by the leadership. I need to say that again. Every need that comes from the body of Christ is not meant to be handled by the leadership. That would cause the needs to eventually bottleneck at the desk of a select few. Amen? When God actually gives every part of the body a purpose and an assignment, amen, because he gives every believer a gift. If you have been saved, you are placed in the body. If you are in the body, there is something that God expects you to do. Are you hearing me? Now, God does not give everybody the same gift. Just like in music, if we all played the same note, that would really be boring. G. Keith is laughing. Okay? The bottom line is this. When we get together, we take all the gifts that God has given us, and we play the same sheet of music, hopefully. Because that would be chaos. But all our different notes, all our different gifts, we harmonize them together. Amen? That's how it works. Amen? We are unique. None of us is the same. Your gift will not look exactly like mine. Well, I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher too, but you're going to be different than me. Amen? And just because you're different than me doesn't mean that you're not useful. You follow me? Amen? So the idea, Kim, is whatever your gift is, God wants you to use it. And not be busy looking at somebody else and what they can do. Sometimes we get really, you know, caught up in the showy, noticeable gifts and say, well, you know, this person is an evangelist and I see them very, very busy. What are you? I'm just a cook. That's all I do. If I begin speaking and speak all day long in a situation that's not like the church, eventually somebody's going to get hungry. This is just practical stuff. So God gives people different gifts and he expects them to use it. Now, you're not supposed to think that because I'm just a cook that somehow means you're less than somebody else or you're beneath somebody. That's not the idea. The idea is every part of the body is important. My hands probably get more, you know, of a focal point than my feet. But I need both. The body needs both. Your gift will not look like anybody else's. You don't throw people into these tight categories that you approve of just because you read, you know, your Bible and you feel like, hey, these are the only things that God calls people to do. There are some categories, but there are varied, manifold, different kinds of things that God calls folks to do. And a lot of people get shut down in the church because they don't know where they fit. Because somebody brought their theology into the picture and told them, no, that we don't have a need for that. We don't have a need for this. We don't have a need for that. God is not moving in that area. That's wrong. One of the reasons why a lot of young people are not in church nowadays is because they don't know what to do. They don't know where they fit. Because some know-it-all told them that they don't fit. Got to be careful with that. Now, Peter lists the gifts of the Spirit. You can write this down in 1 Peter 4 as we're looking at right now. Paul also lists some gifts of the Spirit in Romans 12. He also lists it in 1 Corinthians 12 and in 14 and also in Ephesians 4. These lists vary in size, in content. Together, they mention about 20 or so gifts. Amen? Several cite teaching, prophesying, serving, encouraging. I'm just teaching today. Leading, giving, and healing. But no two lists are identical, and none of the lists are totally exhaustive. Amen? So, no list tries to enumerate and categorize all classes of God's given gifts or talents that he has given to us. Amen? So you need to keep that in mind. If you are saved, there is something for you to do. It is impossible to be put into the body and the body not requiring that you do something. Are you hearing that? All right, somebody's getting excited over there. Now, let me say this. This portion of scripture here, 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, is not just only in the church setting. If you look at the context of this, you will see something rather interesting. Notice verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. What we do a lot of times is we throw that right back in the church. That's not always what it happens. It's not the only place it can happen. If you look at this as a letter that is being written to the church and saying, listen, at a time when there was no church buildings, then it can't be only in the context of these four walls here. Are you hearing me? So when you invite people over, because you're loving Christians who are opening your home, who are not just expected to see each other on Sunday and Tuesday or Wednesday Bible study and choir rehearsal and after church, you know, gatherings, when we are fellowshipping with each other on a consistent basis because I need you and you need me. Amen. When we're doing that, we're also using our gifts. Are you seeing it? We should not assume that this is just a Bible study or a church service. Your church is not open only on a few days because you are the church. Are you hearing me? I'm just teaching simple today. If you are the church, then whenever your mind is functioning and your brain is working, you are actually open to represent God. Are you hearing me? Is this too simple for some of you guys? All right. I'm open to serve. I'm open to speak. I'm open to love. I'm open to care for you. I'm open to check on you. I'm open to represent Christ in front of you. I'm open to give you a piece of chicken. Well, it's true. If I think that the church is closed when I'm not in the building, then there's a problem. I hope somebody's getting this. I'm not trying to say this forcefully. I'm not even trying to preach hard today. I'm just trying to get you to go, wait a minute, what am I thinking? They got together. They shared with one another. Nobody lacked anything. The outsiders were like saying, you know what? There's this light that y'all need to come see. I've never seen people act like this. The church is taking, they're taking care of each other in ways that I've never seen before. They're loving each other. Everybody is taken care of. Folks are giving. Huh? They're encouraging one another. They're growing like crazy. Why? Because we have love. Are you seeing it? Huh? That's what's happening. So the world is witnessing that. And if we only think that it happens here, then we're missing the whole point. Are you getting it? All right. So I am to use my gift. Now, watch this. Last night, I got a phone call by mistake. And I'm going to put her on blast. By Ann. There she's sitting right there. Ann called me by mistake. And she said to me, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to call you. I said, really? Not because Ann calls all the time, but because when the pastor sees one of the members call, I mean, the first thing was like, what you need me to pray for? What happened? Who did it? What we got to do? You know, we got a Holy Spirit roll up. What we got to do? No. Pastor, I didn't mean to call you. I meant to call Sister Irma, who's sitting right here. A pretty green shirt on and white sweater. And I said to myself, wow, think about that. The church folks is calling each other. It's not Sunday. The church folks are talking to, now I don't know if their conversation was godly. I don't know if it was a bunch of mess. They could have been talking about 1 Peter. I don't know. But I was pleased because it wasn't like, Pastor, do something. I'm not saying that I don't mind doing things. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I was pleased that there were people functioning as the church together, and it wasn't Sunday. Are you hearing me? Somebody getting this? What happens if everybody calls the pastor for everything? Burnt out, worn out, can't preach, can't talk, I'm tired, I need you to pray. You pray! I prayed for you all the year, last year. And somebody else pray? Oh, that's good. That warmed my heart. And I hear stories about people taking care of each other. I see people giving people rides. I see these things happening in my church, and it makes me go, yeah, that's it. There we go. If not, then you were out, the pastor or the leadership team or anybody you see with a mic, oh, they must be spiritual. Maybe I should call them. I'm not going to use my gift. I'm the pancreas. I just sit here, the kidney, we just sit here and watch things get sick. Because it's all being thrown at a few chosen people who God never said were the elite. We just think that they are because we don't grow up and find out how God wants to use us. Huh? We don't come in and see the need and look. You know, I got something. I'm saved, right? So I gotta have something. Are you feeling me? I gotta have something. Use your gifts. This context is not so much talking about the world. This context is talking about me and you. How I love on you. How I am concerned about you. All right? Now, here's where we get into the interesting part. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Help me, Holy Spirit. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. You see it? As good stewards, managers, right? Of the varied, manifold, extremely creative grace of God, right? Your gift. In that same context, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Uh-oh. In this setting, we left church, we exchanged numbers, I called you over, you came by, we had, as I said, Elijah, chicken. We're talking at the table, and you know how church folks do. We start talking about the goodness of Jesus. In that conversation, you start hearing things. Okay? We're not just talking about what comes over a pulpit here. Because then you will think that this part of the message is about me. This part of the message is about everybody. Pay attention. Because context is important. What we do sometimes is we cherry pick a scripture and we pull it out of its context. We just got through talking about hospitality. I just got you telling you this probably did not happen over a traditional pulpit as we're used to. Okay? What we're talking about is there are conversations happening. Casual conversations. And it says in this word, if any man speak, let him speak, then it gives clarification. As the oracles of God. Back to the pulpit. When I preach, I am praying that what I say is godly. I am praying that what I say is not a contradiction of what God has already said. I am praying that you don't hear Jamie. There will be errors. There will be mistakes. There will be flubs. I will stutter. I will quote a scripture and possibly use the wrong reference. It's happened. Not just to me. I've seen big bad boys do it. Big time preachers. We're not perfect. We're people. Okay? So I will do the very best that I can. But my prayer is that you will take it as not just pastors teaching from the Bible. That Jesus is speaking directly to you. Your Lord and Savior is saying, you heard that. Now do that. And this is how it applies to your specific situation. Because you don't get up there and tell me everything. People come to me and say, Pastor, that really ministered to me because so-and-so. And I'd be like, really? Okay. Because it's not my church. This is God's church. So when I speak, I have to be careful. Why? Because I'm a pastor? No. Because I have a king. And I'm going to be careful what I say. Do you think that that might also apply to everybody else? Are you hearing me? Hang with me. Word of God says in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, you can turn to it, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine or reproof, and reproof for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay. What we have here, people, is proof from the word that every single thing I need to live holy, to grow up in Christ, to represent God's kingdom, is already in the Bible. Okay? Hang with me. What does it do? Well, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For what purpose? Why? Because getting back to the first thing we saw, that God would be glorified. What? How? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I glorify him by what you see me doing. Okay? I'm doing good works. I'm going to say this very carefully because a lot of people may not believe this. There is no new revelation. Uh-oh. There is the same word that speaks to every situation. There is no new revelation. God has already given us everything we need. He went through to great lengths to tell us what we need to know. Made sure it was written down. The Holy Spirit spoke through these men. Made sure that what, even though it was said with their personality and their whatever situation he wanted to use from them, that is exactly what we needed to have. We got books and books and books really written by one author, the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, what are you saying, Pastor? In my conversations with people, am I careful to make sure that I'm speaking what thus saith the Lord as the oracles God? If not, then the church will not be edified. Okay? Nice and quiet in here. Psalm 138 and 2. Psalm 138 and 2. Says this, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified, thy word above all thy name. How high of a value does God place on his word? How high of a value should we place on his word? How careful should we be when we're talking with each other to make sure we are speaking his word? I'll go a little deeper. A man is only as good as his word. If a man is good, he will establish his goodness by proving it, by keeping his promises. Right? In other words, his words are attached to his name. Ooh. If you want to bring God into a situation, girl, I need to tell you something, and I need your advice. Then what you need to do is you need to bring in God's word. Are you hearing me? Oh, boy. He backs up his name with his own word. He magnifies his word above his own name. Ooh. When someone says to me, and I've done it, and we've all done it, I've had conversations with everybody up in here. The Lord told me. Oh, I had a dream and the Lord said, it's quiet up in here. We should be careful with that. Amen? We should be really, really, really careful with that, because not only do we not want to leave people wrong, we want to make sure that we are giving glory to God, because something could possibly happen in that. I had this situation and I was in a mess, and in that mess, the Lord told me. How did he tell you? Was it a still small voice? Did he yell and shake your house down? What did God do? How did he speak to you? Does God speak to us today? Yes, he does. There's scripture that says that. However, when you talk to somebody, and you know, in this context, I'm coming over to your house and we're getting close to each other, we're getting to know each other, and I'm having Bible studies with you, and every time I talk to you, tell me the Lord told you. The Lord tells you stuff all the time, huh? The Lord speaks that often to you. How? Oh, are you catching me? We've all done it. I've even done it over the pulpit. And God said, look, see these chairs? I'll never forget it. I give this testimony all the time. Didn't have any chairs, just left the dad's church, didn't know where we were going to go, get a building, I don't have any chairs. God fixed it so I would get chairs that would match the exact same color as the curtain that we had in the other building. That's how specific he was. And I got up there and I said, and God told me. The truth of the matter is, if God had really started speaking it, when I believed that I heard God, my car would have fell over. What happened? The Lord gave me an impression in my spirit. Call so-and-so. I called so-and-so. That led to another phone call. That led to a place. That led to a chair. That led to, oh my goodness, they matched the curtain. Then we had chairs installed a Sunday before we had our first service. God was that specific. He didn't tell me it was going to be a bergen chair. He didn't. No. What happened is he, in my spirit, led me to the thing that I needed. Directly to it. But I have to be careful when I say the Lord told me. Why? Well, because everything that we need is in his word. Okay? Some people are not like this. I can feel it. My wife was like, praise the Lord, baby. Real simple. When someone says, the Lord told me, or you get ready to say, the Lord told me, one thing that you could do that makes sure that you bring glory back to God's word, which is, I'm going to go to why we do that in a minute. It's right in the next statement in the verse. Just ask a question. How do you speak? Because if you're not careful, what will end up happening is people will begin to go to other sources that God does not want them to primarily go to. He wants you to go to his word first. Ooh. You don't train the people to listen to you. You don't train the people to listen to their emotions and what they felt. Now, if something happens and it's true, we know it's God. Okay? But here's the other side of it. Am I even thinking while I'm feeling what I'm feeling, or whatever the person said, I heard the Lord, am I thinking about scripture at that moment? That's how we are careful to give God glory and magnify his word. Romans 12 says this. No, before we do that. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability of God, as of the ability which God giveth, that all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen? To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The point is that God gets the glory. Now give me Romans 12. Verse 1. We know this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Right? We know, right? You see it? Unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. First things first, I get saved, I begin to hear that I need to be a living sacrifice. I hear the word of God. I begin to transform. My way of thinking is now different. Right? You're seeing that, right? All right? I'm being transformed. I'm renewing my mind by the word. So the word gives me clarity that I may prove, test, know what is good, what is acceptable, what is the perfect will of God. Ground zero. Now, verse 3 is key. Out of nowhere, Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, here's the thing. Help me, Holy Spirit, with this. I am saved. I am told to transform my mind. The word of God begins to do that. And then there's a warning from Paul. Bring yourself low. Be sober in your thinking and your estimation of yourself. Why? Verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." Verse 6, "Having then gifts." So what are you saying, Pastor? Transform, knowing what is right, I'm about to use you. You're about to be used. I'm about to put you in company of other believers and outsiders. You're going to be able to minister to them with the right heart, with humility, and you might even be led to say some things. Now, when you start speaking, you better be humble. Because you will start to think you're the next most wonderful wonder and start telling people things that make you look good. Even if it's right, you could be bringing glory to yourself and not to God. Are you hearing this? So think soberly, bring yourself low. Why? I got gifts that I'm going to have you use. And here's the thing, people. The Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that. And I'm not checking in with scripture. I'm speaking all kinds of things. And before you know it, you know what? Instead of me going to God, maybe I just need to listen to Brother Hawkins. Maybe Sister Jackson can get a prayer through. She talks to God all the time, evidently. Are you seeing it? Think soberly. Now, he's not saying don't use your gifts. He's saying use your gifts. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or minister, a ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. What he's saying, people, is that I want you to use your gifts, but I want you to bring yourself in line with the boundaries of the word. Because if you're not careful, what will happen is people will start to look to you and not their own Bible that I gave them. Are you hearing me? And also, if you're maybe not a teacher, maybe you're just going to, serve in another way. Maybe you don't speak a lot. But your heart needs to be in a place where you're doing it out of the strength of God and not bringing attention to yourself. I've had people come up and tell me, Pastor, I just want you to know, I sure did cook that, Well, why are you bringing it up? Is this about you? This is about Christ. I help out all kinds of. Thank you for letting us know. That's very interesting. You see how that is? The spirit of it is done in a way that it brings glory to you and not to God. Same thing with speaking. Have a seat. I'm the next great wonder. I hear from God in all kinds of things. He physically always talks to me over and over and over again. God does speak through situations. God does speak through circumstance. God does. I'm not going to say that God doesn't speak to you audibly, because we have scripture that says that. But we also have scripture that says we also have everything we need in the Word of God. So if God does speak to you audibly, he's not going to say anything than what I already have.
That's right.
And that's how people get caught up. Speak as the oracles of God. Be careful. Now, Pastor Jamie, before I go there, 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians, don't turn there, but you know the story. That church was full of people who had gifts. And they became fleshly and decided that they should make every effort to have these gifts displayed and seen. Why? Because it was done in a way where they were showing off and not having humility. Amen? So what you ended up having is people were not giving glory to God. They began to have fellowships that, you know, were not so much church services where people were being edified, but they were more so reduced to talent shows. Think about it. Everybody got to the point where they started speaking over each other. It was out of order. People were talking at all at the same time. Folks were giving words in different languages, and folks didn't understand. So it was a big show. There was chaos. Many people were just showing off. God was not getting any glory. People were making a big thing of being deep. And what ended up happening in that situation is that you have schisms and cliques start to form, where people can pull away unto themselves groups of people that are used to hearing them. Are you hearing this? You got to be careful with this. One last scripture and I'll be done. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 22. Again, we should use our gifts, but there is clarification for how we use them. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Then a very key verse, quench not the spirit. I had to get corrected on this, and I'll go into that in just a minute. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. Amen? Don't push the Holy Spirit out and exalt your know-it-all theology over what he wants to do. Got to be careful with that. Okay? There's a flow of the Spirit, and we should be sensitive to him. Now, verse 20 says, despise not prophesying. Now, this does not mean to tell the future. This means to speak forth the word of God. Okay? A lot of people will teach you something else. That's not what this means. You got to test the Bible by the Bible. Proving all things, hold fast to that which is good. So you have a situation where he's saying, no. You're with your group, or you're at the church, or wherever you're at, and somebody says, I have a word of the Lord. Oh, sorry. And they say what they need to say. And you let them say it. You open it up. Person says at the kitchen table, I have a word for the Lord for your life. Listen to them. It says, don't despise it. Then verse 21 says, prove all things. And then hold fast to which is good. You ever heard that statement that says, take the meat, throw out the bones? But how do I know? How do I know what to hold on to? Simply teaching you this morning. Do you know your word? That's how you test all things. This brother came to me and said, I need to leave my wife. How are you going to leave your wife? Well, I just need to get out of a relationship. Why do you need to leave your wife? Because it's X, Y, and Z. I'm not going to go into all details. Okay? I hear you, and I know you're upset. And based on what you told me, that's absolutely horrible. I get it. I'm human. I understand. Now, how did the Lord tell you? Did you catch that? Well, he told me. How? Okay. Let me ask you another question. Can you think of some scripture that goes with that? Ooh. Right there. Huh? Really? He told you to leave your wife? Where's the scripture? Well, I heard from God. There's no new revelation, Doc. I'm applying your scripture or the word of God to your specific situation. Why you need to leave? Because God told me so. Really? I think I have a problem with that. I don't see that in scripture. It's that simple. Are you feeling me? Are you understanding where I'm coming from? Okay. When you run into those kind of situations, there's a test. Test number one. Can I find a scripture that agrees with what you just said? Number two, can I find a scripture that goes totally against what you said? How do I know whether or not this is the word from the Lord? Will God go against his own word? No. So in other words, bro, I'm sorry. That ain't from God. But I don't go by what I feel. I don't go by what you say. I let you talk. I listen to you. And then I go and go be Berean with the scripture. Da-da-da-da. I go be Berean with the scripture, right? And I sit there and go, now, maybe I don't know everything. Well, maybe I need to call one of my bishop friends. That's what I'll do. They said such and such and such. And a friend of mine tell me they can worship in a different way. That they could worship God in something else. And that God was in cahoots with all these other things. I had said, you know, can you give me a scripture? No. Can you find something in the word that says this is good? Can you find something in the word that says this is exactly the opposite of what God would have you do? Cleared it up right there. They're not mad at me no more. Now they look into the Bible. Which is exactly where we ought to be. Are you following me? Okay. Almost done. William McDonald says it this way. We must evaluate what we hear and hold fast to what is good, what is genuine, what is true. The standard by which we test all preaching and teaching is the word of God. Watch this. This statement blew me away. Because this is where we got to be careful. There will be abuses. Did you hear that? There will be abuses from time to time. Wherever the Spirit has liberty to speak through brethren, there will be abuses. Folks will, am I right about that, Rick? Get it wrong. Okay? It may not always be obvious right up front. But watch this. But quenching the Spirit is not a way to remedy these abuses. I love that. We don't kick the Holy Spirit out and not allow him to do what he wants to do just because I know I'm concerned about the fact that Sister So-and-so might say something off. No. What I do is I test things by the Spirit. I test things by the Word of God. And the Word of God lets me know whether or not this is right. I'll sit there and I might listen. Now, if I'm led by the Spirit, I may not let you speak. But if you're in your own home over some chicken and they get to talking and they get to saying, thus and so saith the Lord over your life, and they're giving you advice, you better know your scripture. You better know your word. Because people have told people all kinds of things that have not been from God. And the only way you're going to be able to clarify it is if you know the word for yourself. Amen? I don't quench it. I don't quench the Spirit. Might be something I need to hear. Okay? Watch this. The theologian Denny wrote this. An open meeting and liberty of prophesying, a gathering in which anyone could speak as the Spirit gave him utterance, is one of the crying needs of the church. But he says this, we also must be very careful to test things by the word of God. Amen? When I first left my dad's church, there were things that I was shaky on. And what I did is I made some mistakes by throwing out everything. And the baby and the bathwater. And the bathtub. I just... Some of y'all remember. Okay? But I couldn't get past certain scriptures. Okay? What I'm learning to do now is that the purpose of us opening up and allowing us to use our gifts is for the body to mature and grow. If not, then everything will end up at three people's desks. Okay? Because the believers are not being allowed to grow up either in the church or in your situations at home, whatever have you. Okay? But what I've also had to realize is that the higher purpose is that if we do what the scripture says here, whatever we hear, whatever we see, however we serve, it brings us back to the word of God to where we can check not only what's being said, but I can check my motive and how I serve. Am I doing this for the glory of God? When somebody starts to say something, you kind of hear, like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like this is about Christ. This is about something else. You can tell when you're doing that in yourself. You can tell because there's a lot of people that claim that they are doing it for God. There's actually a way to kind of watch and tell. When there's a lot of people who are speaking things that are not true, there's a way to get clarification. We don't shut it down. But what we do is we do check the word. Amen? That puts responsibility on everyone in this church to go back to their Bible and be filled with the word of God so that you cannot be tricked. Amen? I'm done.